Week. Amen. God has been good. Praise God. Amen. So glad to be in the house of the Lord. I feel like I'm doubly blessed because I got to come to the house of the Lord last week and now I'm in the house of the Lord again. Is this what it feels like when you get to come to church every week? Man, it's an awesome feeling to be able to come to church every week. That's pretty cool. Today is our last lesson. In our series, we'll start a new series here next week. Today, we're going to be talking about the Bible. And I think this is a very, very vital part of our walk with God, a very, very important lesson for us to learn and talk about today. The Bible is so crucial to our walk with God. Amen. Amen. It matters in our walk with God. It is an important part of our daily lives and needs to be held with high reverence and honor and time spent. You ever hear the different types of people? There's, you know, the gifts given and all of those things. And my wife is really good at naming all of those, and I'm not good at naming those. She is a gifts given, and other people are time spent. Well, the Bible is a time spent kind of a thing in our lives. It needs to be a time spent. We need to get the Word of God in our hearts, in our lives, make it a part of who we are. Amen. Praise God. So we'll get right into it today. Psalms 119, 105 is our focus verse. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. A lamp and a light for close steps for the journey. Right? A lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. In our lesson text, I just wanted to highlight a few things. In Luke 5, verse 5. And Simon answered unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. They're fishing. They didn't get anything. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Because of thy word, because you said so, I will let down my net. And we know what happened there. They struggled to get it all. John 5:39 starts with, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. Our focus thought today, the Bible should be our daily roadmap as we travel toward heaven. As we travel toward heaven, we have a hope today. Praise God. We have a hope today of heaven. Amen. Don't forget about the journey, the traveling along. This is where we need the Bible in our lives, His Word in our lives. It is our daily road map. Have you ever tried to find a restaurant in an area where you'd never been before? Isn't it fun? Show up in some city that some wise designer decided to make every other street a one-way street. Who designed Anchorage anyway, right? And that's not the only place. There's plenty of cities around this world that have one-way and then two-way and then one. I just want to make a left-hand turn. Somebody make that available to me, please, right? It's like the restaurant's right there, but I can't get to it. Try to find some place in a new area. I'm sure that we all have stories about getting lost and before and even after GPS. GPS, I'm not sure if it is exactly helpful. It's not always helpful in Alaska. Mine says something about I'm 2 years out of date. I don't know what that means. Have they changed the roads that much in 2 years? Maybe. It's possible. It doesn't have the roundabouts in Sterling or the speed bumps, as most people use them, just straight through. Or a four-way stop, as some people decide to use them as. It's a yield and yield to the people in the middle. Praise God. That's just, praise God. Driver's Ed this morning. Amen. Some people have a great sense of direction, while others don't ask them for directions. Don't ask. We had a worker out visiting the facility, welder on the facility, and every morning we asked him where he was working, his work area, and working in the southwest corner. No, that's the southeast corner every day. The southeast. Okay, north, south. Wait a second. Right? It's easy to do. Praise God. While others seem to have a hard time figuring out how to get gas into their car if their gas tank is on the passenger side. Anybody ever watch that little video on that's been going around Facebook and YouTube and drives around this way and no, it's still on the passenger side. No, drive around this side. No, it's still on the passenger side. Can't figure it out. Amen. GPS was not going to help in that situation. Absolutely not. I remember traveling with my family as a kid. Mom would have the map. You know, the old McNally, or what's it called? Is that what it's called? Yeah, McNally. The big book. And you open it up, and each state had a page. And then you could get into the cities, or the major cities, and all that kind of stuff. And Mom would have that big book, and she'd have it studied out. She'd know, we need to take this route, and we need to take that route. And every once in a while, she's like, well, let's not go through the city. Let's go through this bypass or whatever. But in the process, she knew the route. She knew about how long it would take, and would study it out and know exactly where we were going. And yes, a few times we didn't quite get where we were supposed to go, or a road that looked really nice on the map. It was a big thick line, so you think, well, that's going to be a big thick road and a nice highway through here, and you get halfway and it turns to dirt and mud, and then for the rest of the trip back from BC, clumps of mud were falling from the bottom of the car, and I'm sure making cars behind us swerve and all of that kind of stuff. But she would study that map. And then as you're studying the map, right, you do that beforehand. You're not looking at the map as you're driving down the road going, okay, oh, we were supposed to turn right there. And some people do that. Yes, absolutely. But you study the map beforehand, and it was referred to often as we traveled. And it was compared to the signs that were along the road. Those signs that we'd see, 75 miles to such and such a place. We could compare that to what we were reading, signs along the way. And it would verify our location. It would verify the distance traveled and maybe even how far we had to go. Now we tend to rely on GPS and we find ourselves on the wrong side of a divided highway while it is telling us to make a U-turn at 65 miles per hour. Turn around and go the other way. Turn around and go the other way. GPS, are you looking at the same road that I'm looking at? Because I can't turn around and go the other way. It's not a possibility. It doesn't hear you either. It does all the talking. It's a one-sided relationship, that GPS. When we rely solely on someone else or something else for our direction, we can find ourselves pretty lost. I like to study the area that I'm going to long before I ever get there. I'll go on Google Maps and Google Earth, and look at the roads, look at the surroundings, look at landmarks and structures that might help me get my bearing. I had never driven around the city of Portland before. But the week before I had gotten there, I had spent a lot of time looking online, Google Earth, finding roads, key roads that would get me to where I wanted to go, maybe a restaurant that I wanted to get to, or how to get from the airport to the hotel, and study that route, know the names of the streets. And then when I got there, I got to the car rental place, I jumped in the car. I didn't have any GPS. I just knew the names of the roads, and away we went. And eventually, I ended up at the hotel, right? Because I planned and I studied where I was going to go, and I knew some landmarks that were along the way, and I kind of knew a heading, a bearing, which direction I was going to go, but it took time and effort to do that. I had to have that knowledge in my head in order to see which way I was going. It is amazing how helpful that research is when I'm in the middle of a new place. It is amazing how new paths or new situations in life seem easier to navigate after spending time in the Word. The Word is our roadmap through life. And the situations we come across in life are so much easier to navigate when we have the Word hid in our hearts. Amen. Praise God. The Bible is the most important and powerful book in the world. It is also one of the most controversial. Few other books have ever been attacked, misrepresented, misunderstood, and quoted out of context as much as the Bible. The reason is that the Bible is God's authoritative message of Himself to the world. The original manuscripts of the Bible were inspired by God down to the smallest letter. The words of the Bible are the words of God. Because the Bible is God's word, it impacts every aspect of human life. Those who believe find in it a rich, fulfilling life here and a certain hope of eternal life with Christ. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Living by the words of the Bible in this life is a fulfilling life. I do not regret the things that I do not do that are outside of the Word of God. I don't miss it. I don't miss it. Things that would destroy me and tear me down, I don't miss that. Things that break up families and tear up homes, I don't miss that. I don't miss that. I enjoy and have a fulfilled life based on the things I find in the Word of God. Amen. There is power in the Word. Throughout most of the 2,000 years of the church age, the vast majority of Christians did not own a Bible. Did you know that? I think you did. Before the printing press, Bibles had to be hand copied. They were enormously expensive, multi-volume works. Bibles were so expensive that only the libraries of universities, monasteries, and the homes of the very wealthy families could contain a copy. For nearly 100 years after Gutenberg produced the first movable type Bible, historians know of only a single copy of any printed Bible that was privately owned. Could you imagine? Well, Joe's got a Bible, but he's the only one. I guess we're going to have to ask Joe what's inside of that book. Because he is well-to-do, and he has a Bible, and he's probably way too busy to even read it himself. But he's got one because it's the cool thing to have. It's unique. It's special. But only Joe knows what's inside of it, because I don't have one. The British and Foreign Bible Societies in 1804 and the American Bible Society in 1816 helped tremendously with cutting the cost, lessening the expenses, and getting Bibles out there. Today in North America, it is not uncommon for a person to own a dozen print Bibles in addition to multiple electronic Bibles. How many Bibles do you have at home? Ready to go? How many Bibles you got? Quite a few. I think I counted the other night. I found seven, and there's probably a few more on bookshelves that I haven't looked at. Plus, I have about 12 versions on here, some that I can't even read because they're not in a language that I understand. But they're on there. Praise God. How many Bibles do you have, Brother Glover? Countless. Just stacks. Yeah. Thinks he has 10. There's probably more, yeah. Right. Yes. Yes, and we gather them along the way. If somebody leaves one in the pew too long, it's gone. Somebody's taking it. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Right? Right? Yeah, exactly. And probably a lot of time spent on each of them, if not all of them running at the same time. So you don't miss 1 second of a commercial about dish soap, because that's important in life. Praise God. You need that. Right? And that's also true of, the opposite is true when it comes to Bibles. How many people have got Bibles at home that are sitting on the shelf collecting dust, never opened? That was my mother's Bible. That was my grandfather's Bible. AJ has a copy of his great-grandfather's Bible. I'm privileged enough to have a copy of Elder Sister Blackshear's Thompson Chain. These are the notes and stuff in there, just incredible, absolutely incredible. Of course, my great-grandpa felt very strongly that you shouldn't write anything in the Bible, so his is completely empty, including, or just his name. That's all that was put in there, but still, incredible to have. But how many people have Bibles in their homes that are just sitting there collecting dust, never, ever opened, never ever studied, no time spent with them, just another book on the shelf or another piece of furniture or another piece of history in your home? The Word of God is available to the average person as never before in history. Almost every hotel you go to, you're going to find a Bible. Seems inconceivable that most of the church history is marked by a lack of direct access to the written Bible. Because God knew this would be the case, He created the Bible so it would speak to the ears of the hearers as well as the eyes of the readers. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Timothy was instructed, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." Give time to. Give time to. Revelations 2:7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Of course, hearing the Bible is not sufficient if we do not also apply it to our lives. How many people do we know hear the Word? When we share our witness, our testimony, we share the Word. How many times is it not heard? Or heard and not acted upon? How many times does Pastor preach and we say, "That was a good message for Sister Annette. Whew, glad, I hope she heard that, because man, that was stepping all over her toes." Right? Hearers but not doers, not applying the Word to our lives. Hebrews 2:1, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." God has called ministers of the Word whom He empowers to assist the believer in understanding and applying it correctly in life situations. During the long period when the Bible was not directly available to most believers, church leaders moved away from this vital role of the ministry, the resulting strict division between clergy and laity, the pulpit and the pew. hid and distorted the truth of the word rather than proclaiming and explaining it. What a mean thing to do, but that's what happened. If you want to know anything about God, you need to come to me and I'll talk to him for you. Right? They took the word. They took their knowledge of the word. And they did not share it. They became lords over God's heritage. Lords. Ultimately, believers are responsible. Point at yourself. I'm a believer. That's me. Ultimately, believers are responsible. Say, I'm responsible. Even if you don't believe that this morning, I'm responsible for testing the accuracy of what they receive from their leader and determining for themselves the proper application. Say, it is my responsibility. It's my salvation. Right? It's my relationship with God. Right? Right? Now, the ministry tries its best and preaches and sweats and studies and researches and presents and all of those things. But the bottom line is, there is nobody that can save you but God. It is a relationship between you and God. It is not a relationship between you and your pastor to God. That's part of it, absolutely, submitted to your leadership. I believe that. But Brother Glover can't save you. Amen. It is your responsibility to study the Word of God. Hallelujah. God has placed ministers, appointed people in your life to help you understand, but it is your responsibility. I remember very specifically being in a doctor's appointment where there was a therapist for AJ, like the respiratory therapist. There it is, came to me. Respiratory therapist who was talking to us, and we were all sitting there, and AJ was sitting there, and we were doing all the talking, and AJ wasn't doing any, and he was old enough to speak for himself. He was still young. And the respiratory therapist ignored us, looked right at AJ, and he said, "It's your asthma. It is your responsibility to take care of your asthma. Your parents can help you, and your parents can assist you, but it is your asthma. It is not your parents' asthma, and it is your responsibility to have an inhaler with you at all times. It is your responsibility to let people know if you can't breathe. It's your asthma. It is your relationship with God. There are people in your life who can help you and assist you along the way. But it is your relationship with God. It is your responsibility." Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Bartlett. God has called pastors and teachers to assist us with the task. But we cannot abdicate to our leaders that which is our personal obligation. This is why the Jews of the synagogue in Berea were called more notable than those in Thessalonica. Both groups received the message from Paul and Silas and were persuaded of its truth, but Bereans searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Man, Pastor preached an awesome message. I wrote down some verses that he was talking about. That's great. Did you look them up? Did you see if it was so? Did you verify? Did you look in the Word? Did you actually learn something from the scriptures that were given out? Noble. They were noble because they searched the scriptures daily. And they wanted to see if those things were actually so. Is it really worded that way? I've kind of heard it this way or that way. This is how Pastor presented it. I need to look that up. In God's kingdom, nobility does not come from unquestioning trust of our leaders, but from consistent examination of our own ideas and those of our leaders against the unerring yardstick of the Bible. That's what we're talking about today. The Bible, the Word of God. Living our lives in the Word requires that the Word become alive in us through daily reading of it, listening to and studying the Word of God. We must fight the tendency to vest the church in the pulpit rather than the pew. It is your responsibility. It is your salvation. We all worship together. We all study together. We all learn together. We all grow together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So glad that we're in this thing together. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just as the Bible does not belong to it, only a professional class of clergy, thank the Lord, so the proclamation of its message is not restricted to the elders of the church. Every member of the body of Christ is commanded to teach, to admonish one another through speech and through spiritual songs, in Colossians 3:16. We are called to be witnesses to the world by our acts of love, lifestyle of holiness, and wise speech. Now, some of us may struggle with that last one, but that's okay. Praise God. With God's help, we can have wise speech. Amen. It is not necessarily a popular message today. People look at us as following a list of rules. There's so many articles, and occasionally I'll pull them up and look at them, and on the Pentecostals and what they do and how they live and their archaic dress code and living by this set of rules and I'll pull them up and read them and just I like to know what people are saying. I don't allow it to affect what I do or how I live, because the people that write them don't necessarily know how they live or what is true themselves, and they're just writing their opinion, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with people having their own opinion. But it's not necessarily a popular thing to say what we say and to preach what we preach and to witness like we witness and to live like we do and to worship the way that we do. Oh, you guys are just too loud and obnoxious. Easter Sunday, my wife and I were talking afterwards and we were singing, and the worship was so loud that it wouldn't have mattered what we had for a sound system. We couldn't hear each other. We had no idea where we were going in the song. Just keep playing. Just say words. It doesn't matter. Just keep singing, because we couldn't hear. It was incredible, the amount of worship in our service. That is an awesome thing. But that's not accepted. But then look at a football game. Look at a soccer game. Man, we should have a few people come in with their faces painted with Jesus across their forehead or something. Go team! Right? No. We'll stay away from the shirtless. Praise God. Amen. But painted across their face and super excited and banners and waves and noisemakers. We had some the other night at our graduation party. Incredible. Making noise, just to make noise. Kind of silly. But we do that. And it's not necessarily acceptable for church folk to be that wild and crazy. I thank the Lord that it is okay. Hallelujah. For His church to rejoice. Hallelujah. In worship and praise unto God. But this message, this church, has always had its greatest growth when confronted by a hostile society. That is the point that I'm trying to make here. We have our greatest revival when there's greatest opposing forces against the church, trying to shut us down for the way that we live, for the way that we act, for the way that we believe. You will see the greatest revivals come out of those situations. Praise God. Unless the word of Christ dwells in us richly, Colossians 3:16, we may be lured into debates and tempted to attack people rather than simply defending the gospel. We need the word of God in us. The more the word becomes a part of us, the less we will feel drawn into such destructive practices. But the delight of his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalms 1:2. We are to contemplate. We are to examine, focus ourselves on the word. We need to make the word a vital part of our thought process. This is vital. If you don't spend time in the word, it can't be in your thoughts. Right? Yes. We need the word to be a part of our thought process. If we want, and we have the help of the Holy Ghost in our lives to do this, to bring things to our remembrance in times of difficulty or struggles that we may have. We have the Spirit of God dwelling in us that will bring to remembrance things from the Word. It's hard to bring things to remembrance that aren't there. We need to spend time in the Word. We need to get the Word in our heart, in our mind, in our soul. The Word needs to become a part of us. God, I just keep struggling in this area of my life. I just can't seem to get through this temptation, this struggle. The Word is there to help. The Spirit of God is there to help. But we need to have the Word of God in us. In us. And if we have the Word of God in us, it will help us in our daily walks, in our daily struggles. It'll help us to make it through. Amen. Praise God. Meditation takes that which we know and makes it that which we reason. Our reasoning is how we process how we do things. When we meditate upon the Word of God, it takes just knowledge about the Word of God and transforms it, changes it into how we reason our way through situations and reason our way through lives. When we spend time thinking about and meditating upon the Word, it changes what we know into how we reason. As such, all thinking becomes clearer through the lens of the Word. Amen. The benefits of the Word, and I think we all realize that there are benefits in the Word. Peter warns us, 2 Peter 3:16, that the Scriptures are often hard to understand and can be twisted destructively by those who are ignorant, uneducated or undisciplined, and unstable, weak or unestablished. The Bible can be destructive to those who focus on words, phrases, or verses without interpreting them in the context of their passage, book, and overall purpose in the Word. Pastor, I read Scripture the other day, and it said this, and so I just think that all the teaching you've done over the last 50 years is invalid and incorrect because I read this one Scripture out of context, and I don't understand it, but that's the conclusion I'm coming to. Right? Don't tell me that's never happened before, because it certainly has. Reading, uneducated, undisciplined, weak, or unestablished in their whole concept of the Word, picking out words and phrases, and this applies to me, but this verse right after it that verifies and validates that Scripture doesn't apply to me because that's Old Testament, or that only happened in the book of Acts, or whatever it might be. Never seen that before? Don't get sucked into that trap. Educate yourself. Know the Word. Get the Word in your heart. If you don't understand, ask for those that might understand to help you to understand. Ask God's help in those situations. God, help me to understand. This doesn't seem to line up with what we're talking about. I don't understand this. Pastor, can you help me? Walk me through this. Give me some other references. Give me more words so that I can understand this word. Put it in context. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, let's go to stuff that none of us understand fully. Praise God. Let's jump right in over our heads and hope we can swim our way out. Right? But that's not how Hollywood made the movie Exodus. There you go. There's your problem. Praise God. All right. Finding a verse, regardless of its context, that proves a point or distorts the meaning of the Bible or robs it of its power. It robs it of its power when you take verses out of context and try to use them for some other purpose. It robs the word of its power. Those willing to become disciples of the Bible by expending the time and effort necessary. Everybody say time and effort. Isn't that fun? Those are fun things. Time and effort. Those are great things. Time and effort. Those that are willing to put in the time and effort necessary to be instructed in its meaning, find in it rich benefits. Through it, God leads us in the paths of righteousness, Psalms 23:3. Without its guidance, we are in constant danger of slipping, Psalm 17:5. But by it, we learn the way we should go and are guided by God's own eye, Psalms 32:8. It is not intended to just make us religious. It is the center or central core of a Christian's entire way of life. God, let my life line up to your word. Let your word become alive in me. Let your word guide me. Let it do what it says it can do, which is be a lamp and be a light. The only way that it's going to do that in my life is if I yield myself to the word. Not just hear the word, but be a doer of the word. The Bible is the most powerful book in the world because it reveals the mind of the Almighty. God, why don't you speak to me? God, why don't you speak to me? I need a word from you, Lord. I need a word. Give me a word. Give me a word. Give me a word. You got a word. It's about that big. About that big. It's got multiple pages. You got a word. God, speak to me through your word. God, speak to me through your word. God, no. I want lights. I want smoke. I want flashes, bangs, all kinds of lightning. Maybe speak to me through a burning bush or something. No, you've got a word. Hallelujah. Use it. Praise God. Amen. All right, moving on. The Word of God deserves respect, careful treatment. I remember growing up, Dad did not like anything ever to be set upon the Bible. Remember that distinctly, getting in trouble multiple times. Putting something on, a magazine, I'm reading a magazine, the Bible's there, and not even thinking about the Bible being there, just throwing down a magazine. Get that off the word. It doesn't belong on the Bible. You need to have respect. Amen. Praise God. Try not to leave it on the roof of your car. Praise God. Fling it off somewhere on the highway. That's never happened. Amen. The power of the Bible does not come by quoting it. How many people know other people that are really good at quoting the Bible? Does their lifestyle live up to the quotes? Sometimes not. The power of the Bible does not come from quoting it, but rather by obeying it. Amen. Amen. As harmful as the misuse of the Bible can be, It can be thousands of times more beneficial when used correctly. Amen. Amen. God uses the authoritative message of the Bible to edify, to bring healing, to purify, to reprove, to rebuke, to correct, and instruct. Those who follow his word find nourishment for the soul and protection through all of life's unpredictable happenings. Its power is not in the paper, binding, or ink, or even in the letters, words, and sentences, but in the Spirit of God who inspired it. Amen. The Word of God is our anchor. Hallelujah. The facts of science have changed as humans have become more aware of their universe around them. So glad that we don't think we still live on a flat earth. Explore and then just fall off. I don't have an explanation where the ocean goes, so you must just fall off at the end. Praise God. The facts of science have changed as humans have become more aware of the universe around them and develop better tools for scientific examination. The facts of history have changed as previously unknown evidence has surfaced and historical tools and techniques have been refined. The facts of daily living have changed as society shifts and molds themselves to new technology and ideas. Even people are consistently and constantly changing as a result of maturity, education, and experience. All the world and all of its truths are changing. But God remains the same. God remains the same. If you want something to be an anchor, a core value in your life, you want something to be there that you can hold on to that is going to be the steady anchor in the midst of your glacial cruise, where the seas are literally slamming you, taking the boat from underneath your feet at times. Praise God, speaking from personal experience yesterday. If you want something that's going to remain the same, hold on to his word. Hold on to his word. Correctly interpreting depends on knowing something about the culture, the history, the language of the people who formed its initial audience. But God used that changing canvas to present an unchanging revelation, Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we stand this morning, 1 Peter one, starting in verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Hallelujah. Is it your desire today to grow? Hallelujah. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If we're going to do any growing at all, it's going to happen when we're in the word. That's where we're going to grow. You want to grow today? Read the word. Spend time in his word. Meditate on his word. Don't just hear the word, but do the word. Do the word. Hallelujah. And we can all grow together. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we go to prayer. We need to pray for the Lamases who are in Homer today.